about why Comey memoed all over Trump and not anybody else. I actually think that that is probably one of the most important questions to ask from what happened yesterday. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Happy Friday, one and all. We made it. It's end of the week again. Just raced by this time. 800-222-5222 is the number here if you'd like to be on the program. Also, my email, sam@samnation.com. And as always, I do check that. I check it frequently. I get a lot of junk mail, though, too. I'm pretty sure someone who didn't like me, doesn't like me, put that email address and spammed it somewhere. There's some of the oddest emails. I promise you that. Look, there's two answers, okay, to Memogate. The two answers, the first is, well, first you have to understand, the Comey, what he did, that was his big misstep yesterday. When you take a look back at everything that happened there, when you consider this man who a lot of people in the media are calling, overall a good guy, a Boy Scout, calls it as he sees it, G-man, government agent, cop extraordinaire. When they look at Comey, when I look at everything that happened yesterday and I look at this memo that got leaked, I think that's right there, my friend, that's where you screwed the pooch. And there's a couple different reasons for it. Look, it's work product. I don't want to get into the whole, was there attorney-client privilege? Was there a duty of confidentiality? There's opinions that go back and forth on that. That's not the issue. At the end of the day, I will tell you right now exactly how this works in the private sector and how that translates into life when you're at the FBI, for example. If you write something related to work on a work computer, on a work cell phone, on a work anything, a freaking yellow pad like the one I have in front of me, and it relates to work, it's the property of your employer. That's it. Your employer has full rights to control that work product. And the private sector, this isn't governed necessarily by operation of law. It's governed by contract. Most of the time, your employer, when you sign up for a gig, you get a new job, you're excited, you got a great job. And maybe you're more interested in the benefits package and your salary and all that. But somewhere, your employer probably, if they are smart, will have you sign some company policy about work product. You cannot just walk out the door with work product. And all this nonsense about it being his recollection and what he had on the it was on the tip of his tongue and in the core of his brain and in his heart and all this BS I'm hearing. Typical, by the way, typical liberal nonsense. Nothing belongs to the man, right? I mean, nothing. No, there's no property rights, it's all out there in the ether. No. You work on it at work. You work on it on a work laptop at home. Doesn't matter. In fact, if you are recording meetings, notes on meetings that you are conducting as part of your job function, I can make a very good argument. And far better lawyers than me are making it all over the news today that information belongs to your employer. Fine. Good. There is an added layer to this, which is that when you go to the FBI, when you go to a number of government agencies, let's say you become a CIA agent, anything like that, even the military, you're in the military. And Robbie, you can back me up on this. You go to the military, you remember the raid, the Osama bin Laden raid? That guy, he got into a little bit of trouble for, what did he do? He wrote about the raid. This is after he left the military, no longer in the military. This is just what's in his head, right? These are his memories, his recollection. But he doesn't get clearance to write. He got into a little bit of trouble with that. happens all the time. If you want to write a book, let's say, about your time working in the Secret Service, there are rules against that. You part of going in is you promise not to do that. And not only did Comey write a memo and take it home with him and keep it. This is the crucial thing. Forget the leaking for a minute. That he kept it. He held on to it. He, being the swarmy little backstabbing, you know, swamp thing that he is, he kept it, the little weasel. He held on to it. Didn't turn it over to his trusted colleagues with whom he conferred on so many occasions, according to his testimony. He didn't put it in his in a file titled Things the President Told Me. He didn't put these things in his journal. I mean, I'm assuming these memos don't start with Dear Diary. Today I met with President Trump and boy did I feel uncomfortable. Whee! My best Pinocchio voice I can. I want to be a real man someday. That's what it was like looking at Comey. Little puppet. Anyway, so, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it's work product. And it relates to a privileged, confidential conversation that you had that was within the course and scope of your employment. And so it's not just enough that he takes this home with him and he files it away in Jimmy C's drawer of secrets. But he then, when he is offended, you heard it yesterday. I played the tape. Offended by Trump disparaging the good men and women of the FBI. See a little quiver in his voice. What a theater, right? I mean, a total theater. The guy's an experienced trial lawyer. You guys are all listening to him talk, going, oh, yes, that's just right there. That's it. Oh, that's the true words. He's an experienced trial lawyer. So there it is. So he says that Trump dissing the men and the women of the FBI and telling he is a liar. Why is he a liar? Did you heard his reasoning for why he's a liar, by the way? Trump is a liar, and that's all I've heard today on CNN. Trump is a liar. Oh, former FBI agent called Trump a liar. Trump is a liar, according to Comey, because Trump told him on a number of occasions, hey, Jim, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. Two thumbs up, pal. And then after he was terminated, Trump said that Comey didn't do a good job and that the agency was in disarray and that agents didn't like him. That's what it was. So think about that. Let that sink in. So enraged by that, enraged by what he considers to be mischaracterizations of himself, he goes up and he takes the memo. He gives a portion of it, a selected portion of it, to a buddy of his, who is a law professor and an experienced criminal defense attorney. And he gives it to him and they release it to the New York Times. And now I can finally start getting back to my original point. This is yet another example of Trump derangement syndrome. What happens when you get too intelligent, sophisticated, experienced lawyers, okay? Lawyers, top schools, who are so, they become so blinded by Trump rage, by their umbrage over how horrible, what a miscreant Trump is. They start seeing spots and they forget all of their normal careful prudence. All of the normal, I always tell you about lawyers, how risk adverse they are. They forget all of that. I read in an article today how Eric Holder, Obama's first attorney general, called James Comey, a chess player. He liked to see several steps ahead. I'm telling you that There are no steps ahead here that are good for Comey in the long run. At the very least, the next person that is looking to hire the clown is going to be going, you know, if I'm going to have an awkward conversation with him, I wonder if he's going to be keeping a memo. Comey says, of course, he never took any memos with anyone else, and he only did it with Trump because, well, basically, of the type of person that Trump is. And that was before any of their interactions occurred. Now, why didn't he? Okay, you've got two guys, Trump derangement syndrome. There fits a long pattern of people going off the rails. Why in the for the name of Pete did he not keep a memo? If he is the type of guy that wants to be the Boy Scout, that is the Boy Scout, that is the long-suffering saint of Washington, the last honest man in the dirtiest place in the country. Why did he not make a memo or write something contemporaneous when he was given a political directive by Loretta Lynch? Right? I mean, it's an important question. Why memo Trump? And you remember what the directive, right, was to call the investigation. It was a criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton. When Comey had to come out and give a statement, Loretta Lynch told him to call it a matter. It's a significant thing. You're in the middle of an election. It's a criminal investigation. So she tells him to go out there and lie. And he does it, and he says it's not a hill worth dying over. It's very interesting stuff. And by the way, no, that is not obstruction either. You know, I'm hearing some people on the right going crazy. You know, it's obstruction. It's not obstruction at all. You guys don't know what obstruction is. No one knows what obstruction is. I'm just going to tell you right now. So you want to hear my theory on this? Well, yes. Okay, of course there's the whole part of it is that Loretta Lynch, for Comey, they're colleagues. I mean, that's it. They're lawyers, they're colleagues. They've both come up through the ranks in the Justice Department. They are two peas in a pod. And when you look at Comey's history, he's definitely played the nonpartisan card. He's not been somebody who's been a shill for the Democrats or been a shill for the Republicans either way, but he's always been a good shill for what's good for James Comey. Trace some of his history. But that's not the issue here. I dug deep into some Comey history, and I got a theory on this. Remember when I told you yesterday that not everybody at the FBI loves Jimmy C? I mean, that a lot of the agents there who are serious investigators, real cops, Comey went, there's a speech from the past. I know I like to talk about past speeches, so just indulge me here. This happened back in February of 2015. And I dug up an article on it from The Hoya, which is the Georgetown University's student newspaper. Here's the title of it. In rare move, FBI head, it's meaning James Comey, addresses race relations. Now, have a gander here. Listen closely. This is from the first paragraph. Federal Bureau of Investigation Director James Comey spoke about the subconscious racial biases present in law enforcement officers, disproportionate challenges faced by young men of color, and other issues in the intersection of race and law enforcement. Now, the greater context behind him giving this talk, of course, was you had Ferguson, you had Black Lives Matter. Ferguson was, what, 2014? So this is happening in 2015. The next line, oh, this is good. You'll appreciate this. Comey's remarks were unusual for an FBI director. Well, I'd say a lot of things about Comey are unusual for an FBI director. But he goes into this, and he talks to the students. He's there with one of the deans from one of the schools on school on public policy. Comey says this. This is a quote from him. All of us in law enforcement must be honest enough to acknowledge that much of our history is not pretty. At many points in American history, law enforcement enforced a status quo that was often brutally unfair to disfavored groups. So we're up against a timeout here, but I want to tell you, when I come back, I want to explain to you how this figures in it, because I think it affects his thinking in two very important ways. All right, Sam Rogowski, back right after this.
Hello?
Who's calling?
You're calling this number, 800-222-5222.
You should have seen Trump today on, where was he? National Transportation Administration, and he was talking about infrastructure. He's pushing his deal, and he's talking about all the regulations that face any building project in the U.S. And he brought, this was classic Trump. But also, I tell you, but very politically very savvy. He had all these binders up there. Do you have a chance to see this? All these binders. And they were thick. I'm talking, these are the kind, I don't know if you can even get these at your standard staple store. They look like they're supplied by Halliburton. I mean, these things are huge. And like giant D-ring binders, right? And so he's got a stack of them. It's like a leaning tower of Pisa binders. And he starts going through it. He goes, look at all these regulations. And he goes away from the mic. You can't even hear him talking, but he's making his little Trump faces. You know, he's flipping through the pages in the binder, going, right? And it's just absurd the amount of paperwork that goes to document every project and comparing it to the level of documentation that, although severe, is nowhere near to this that we find in the private sector. So you go to build something in the private sector, and of course you're going to need to conform to certain rules and regulations, please the building department and some environmental say all that, but it's still nothing compared to what it takes to build anything with federal money. And I've always told you what this is all about. The issue here, no, it's not about safety. It's not about help, you know, protecting us and accountability and anything like that. This is the amount of regulation, the amount of paperwork that is generated by regulation alone is a high cost of compliance deliberately calculated by Washington politicians to make the barrier of entry for any of these government bids high. Barrier of entry high pushes the small guys out of the game. And by small, they're still big companies, but not as big as the big guys. And what do the big guys have? Well, the big guys have big money. And with big money comes lots and lots of spending for lobbyists, for influence peddling, for these posh junkets. That's junkets for those of you who are here as a dreamer. Junkets. Don't use that word. You might get deported. Oh, so that's what it is. You got the guy, and the Republicans do this all the time. The guy sitting there in Washington, the John McCain, the Lindsey Graham, Chris Dodd. Dodd's a great example. Bounced on Washington, went straight to the MPAA. We talked about that the other day. It's a racket. And these guys go to these junkets, or they get hired after they leave Congress, and they get paid for by the big money. And they're not getting scooped up by the little guys. They're getting scooped up by the big guys. Those are the guys that can afford them, that have the infrastructure, that are playing the game, sponsoring the hors d'oeuvres and cocktail parties, the champagne bars in Washington, while you and I are working our A-money monies off, paying these ridiculous federal and state taxes, And all these people are going to their junquets. Gosh. There it is. I'm already almost out of the segment. Let me tell you. You got a guy, Comey, and he is besieged with white guilt. This is a common problem, especially when you're stuck in Washington and stuck in going to elite schools. Remember, he's got the religious angle. You know, went to Williams and Mary College, studied religion, feels very guilty. A lot of original sin going on. I wonder to what extent race is a factor in how he viewed any interaction within the Obama administration. I promise you that. You don't think it's a factor? You don't think it's a factor at all? You got a guy here who says, you know, subconscious racial biases present in law enforcement officers. Does he want to be the nation's top cop who's spoken against racial bias to be perceived as being anti-Obama or anti-Loretta Lynch? It's a good question to ask, and no one's asking it. All right, we got John Wolf up next, and I'll be back after that.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we are, as always, coming to you live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. I would add, actually, on the right side of the orange curtain, specifically. And I think we're coming to you loud and clear. At least that's my hope. Travel safe tonight. I know end of the week, we're all trying to get to someplace cozy, hopefully, like home. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com. Do we have, is Teresa in LA, are you there?
I'm here.
Teresa, good to have you on the program. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for your energy and for the program.
You're welcome.
I just want to say I understand perfectly why Comey took notes when he was talking to Trump. We all have seen in 3D that Trump has a problem with telling the truth. Even when it's documented, it can be rolled back from tape, etc. So he's like, I don't want to say pathological liar, but he lies a lot. So the reason why Comey didn't probably take notes with former President Obama or Susan Rice, I think was her name, was because I think under oath they probably would tell the truth. I mean, we have nothing to show that they would out and out lie. And I've been in a situation where I've dealt with a liar one of the only times in my life that I took notes. I don't think it's white, what did you call it, white guilt?
Yep, white guilt.
I don't think it's so much, it's just my opinion, I don't think it's white guilt so much as it is he didn't feel that he needed to take notes with them because they seemed like sane people. I've never seen anybody lie as much as Trump.
Well, all right, let me respond to this. I really appreciate the call, Teresa, and I get it. I understand that being in this 24-hour cable news cycle, overwhelmed. I mean, 90% of the news out there is negative to Trump. And let me try to put on as objective of a hat. Helmet. I think I need a helmet in this crisis. Looking at this as objectively as I possibly can, it's not actually 90% bad news about Trump. Comey is a guy who has been working. He was the attorney, right? The U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. This is a guy who's been in Washington during the Bush administration. He worked under George Bush. That was his first appointment when he was an assistant attorney general. Now, the narrative, Teresa, the narrative, Tim, how long was Bush? 2000 to 2008, and then for some years later, the narrative was The narrative was, hey, you know, Bush lied. The biggest liar in the world is George Bush. Bush lied. People died. I mean, that's all we heard. Not my president. Illegitimate president. So you've got a guy who is a Washington insider. He's been there. He's worked for different presidents. I don't know. The whole thing of him saying, well, this is just who he is. And I knew he was going to lie. And I took the memos. It doesn't pass the smell test. It just doesn't to me. You've got it. It's Trump is no bigger of a liar. And I'm sorry to say this, than Obama or than Clinton or Hillary. This guy that worked, he actually worked in the same administration at one point as Hillary Clinton. I mean, let's let that sink in. So
I'm trying to keep the area small because Trump is the one that we're dealing with right now. And the thing about it
I'm talking about the decision of why he chose to memorialize conversations with Trump and not with Loretta Lynch when she was being. This is the lady that was being literally was being pressured to end the investigation into Hillary by none other than a former president. I mean, it was epic. I mean, if I turn this thing around and I put Trump in the place or any Republican in the place of Bill Clinton, Loretta Lynch and Obama, any decision maker in that whole ordeal, I think this would be front page news on CNN for a year. Teresa, thank you for the call. I'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. Do you know what these fidget spinners are? They're, I guess, the must-have toy for kids. And also for millennials. Young adults are consuming these things, snapping them up. Flying off the shelves. It's this little toy. It's balanced. It looks like a little triangle with some holes in it. And you hold it, kind of pinch it in the middle, and it moves. It spins. And you spin it, and then it just, you know, flies around. My son has one. And apparently, they're really good with, like, ADHD kids. That's what this article says. I don't know. They're being banned in classrooms. Their teachers are fed up with them. Anyway, an Indiana girl almost choked on one. I had to read this twice because I'm looking. It's a pretty big deal. I mean, I think it's like maybe 4 inches, 3 inches in diameter. But I guess a little piece of it broke off and, of all things, flew right into her open mouth. And she did the only thing you naturally do when a piece of a fidget spinner flies into your mouth. You swallow it. That's what she did. And firefighters got called. They tried to dislodge it, went into her stomach. Big mess, went to the hospital, pulled it out. Now, products are supposed to be safe. And lots of household products that we use, including fidget spinners, can be hazardous. I don't know. Don't know if this is a particular type of product defect case that might be actionable. Could be. But I just wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that Sweet James Bergner, the lawyer that we trust here on the program, doesn't just handle car accidents. He also does product cases, works on all types of interesting injuries. Sometimes these injuries are very one of a kind. I'll let your imagination take it away from there. So what you need to do is if you get injured any way, anyhow, talk to somebody and make that person Sweet James. He'll go through it with you no matter how embarrassing the story is. He's a listener. He'll hear you out and tell you if you've got a case. Phone number, easy, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation back talking about FBI Director, former FBI Director James Comey, the man of the hour, and his little Pinocchio testimony. Now, Pinocchio testimony, I understand. There are people like Teresa, good people that watch a lot of news and don't like Trump and think he's a giant liar. I'm just telling you, you've got to listen to me. Please, please trust me on this. There's something oddly ironic about a guy whose career as the his career was formed in the crucible that is Washington, D.C., deciding to call Trump a liar. It cannot be a relative thing. It's an absurd statement. It's an absurd qualitative, not quantitative, evaluation. And I want to know, I mean, Lynch told him to lie. She told him to lie. You can't sit and say, well, Lynch is more trustworthy than Trump because this Trump guy is a liar. A lot of the things, by the way, can I come to Trump's defense here for a minute? A lot of the things that people don't like about him are the truths that he tells. I mean, I tell you, the way he got himself into trouble with all you, you know, sensitive types during the campaign is he just would call it what it is. I mean, he's the guy that looks at a fat person and says, you're fat. And everybody goes, oh, my God, you can't say that. Oh, this is in the world. What a brute. He could be a brute. He's not a liar. It's an important distinction. I don't know. There's something. It's silly. Now, by the way, I've given you a few different opinions on Comey's motives about the memos, but there's a bigger picture here that's developing. See, I think the question to ask is why is he coming out like this? Why is he making such a big production of it? Because trust me, Comey's behind. He's leaking. He's keeping the story alive in the news. He wants his story to be told. And the official narrative that he's giving is he wants to protect the good name of the men and women of the FBI. I wonder if there's a financial motive. Hang tight. I'll tell you all about it right after the break.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
See, I've always told you that libs have a religion. Al Gore said, God wants us to fight global warming. Yes, I bet he does, Al. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. By the way, I always go back to what the people with the money are doing. I'm always curious about the money movers, the money shakers. The men and women holding the purse strings of America. And I'm not talking about the girls and boys in Washington, D.C. I'm talking about the real movers and shakers. Did you see what the stocks did, what the markets did yesterday? As soon as Comey shut his little rat trap, the stocks hit an all-time high yesterday. Why? The reason is because there was nothing there that would get in the way of slowing the Trump agenda. Now, whether you like Trump or not, I had a meeting today. Let me finish the thought. Getting ahead of myself. I've got to work on this. So, stopping the Trump agenda. The Trump agenda, at the end of the day, is primarily focused on the economy. I mean, it is. He's got an infrastructure plan. He wants to get rid of Obamacare. He wants to streamline the tax code. He wants to do all that stuff. And so, you know, the people that are putting trillions of dollars on the line, they don't care about Trump's tan or what a vulgar person he is or whether he says nice things to people or they don't even care if he lies. They believe him when he says that he wants to get rid of those regulations, those binders that I told you about earlier in the show. I mean, that is good stuff for the people with money. I had a meeting today with some bankers, and we talked about the Trump agenda. And I mean, they're not political guys, let alone Trumpists. But, you know, yeah, their eyes light up because they've been living with this BS regulation called Dodd-Frank. That's literally, if you're in banking and I say Dodd-Frank, it's like, get a nervous tick. You start spasming, you know. You do one of those, you know, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go there. So that's it. You get the picture. The people, they want change. And these people, you know, they're not making the same qualitative assessments that many of you are after long nights of watching Jim Acosta on CNN. Speaking of CNN, James Gagliano, he's the FBI agent that they've had on over and over again talking about how Comey is so moral and so great and everything. Let's have a listen to what he said after Comey's testimony.
I have been full-throated in my defense of this FBI director on CNN. I have lauded his actions. I've certainly lauded his character. I was choked up listening to him defend the institution, the apolitical nature of the FBI, and defending us. He lost the moral high ground. Mm-hmm. There are processes and protocols in place. I'm retired from the FBI. If I elect to write a book, I have to get the Department of Justice to sign off on my own intellectual property. What the FBI director did was take a document and the ideas that were contained within those four corners, and he didn't even go to the New York Times himself. He shared it with a surrogate. I don't understand it. I don't understand why he claimed that there were various reasons why not. I'm sure there are personal reasons, but to me, it diminished a man who 99.9% of America looked at and said, whether we agree with his actions or not, he's an honest, decent, moral man, and we're not questioning his character or his words.
Well, the honest, decent, moral man apparently is making a book deal. And that's, I'm going to talk more about this next week, but $10 million of a book deal. You wonder why he's doing this? Why he's keeping himself in the news? Why he's not being the moral man that you thought he was? 10 million big ones. Sam Rejofsky, talk to you Monday.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.